Father, thank you for the Word of God tonight. We thank you for this music, the singing and the worship and praise. And now we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that the entrance of your Word gives and brings us light. So we see illumination, understanding, wisdom, and knowledge come from your Word. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, you guys have your handout. I have a Bible, but I also have a handout, and it's a very familiar passage of Scripture tonight, and we've been talking about choosing the path of the righteous, and so we want to make sure that as every person that claims Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, hey, guys, can you talk out there, please? Thank you. We want everyone that claims Jesus as their Lord and Savior to choose the path of the righteous. You know, I know a lot of the people in this church that they are sold out to God. And so I know that they are making good choices and they are choosing the path of righteousness. And I believe that we sang about the goodness of God. I believe in the goodness of God. I believe in the favor of God. I believe in God's help. And when we go to him in faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So God wants us to approach him in faith. Faith believes that God is good. Faith believes that God will help. Faith believes that God hears me. And faith believes that if I stand, having done all to stand, that the Lord will help me in circumstances, whatever situation I'm in. All right, so tonight we're reading from one of the most famous passages of Scripture in the Bible, from Psalm 23. We're reading six verses. In verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hey, everybody has wants. Everybody wants something, and we all want something from God. But when I put my faith and trust in the Lord, I can cast my cares on him. And, you know, it's just, we know that God, the Bible says that God supplies our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So if you know me, I'm going to present the word back. You know, if a challenge comes up, I'm just going to speak a word to it. Every instance and every circumstance and every situation, I want to have a response with the Word of God. So in life, in every circumstance and situations, whatever they come up against, I want to have a response. The world speaks to us, and I want to be able to respond. The world throws things at us, and I want to be able to respond. I want to respond in faith no matter what comes. Now, God, over the years of my Christianity, I've been a Christian a long time, been a pastor a long time, and I've seen and walked and enjoy the goodness of God. We sang about the goodness of God. Thank you, Gowan. And it's just, I know that there are many Christians who have not tasted and seen that the Lord is good. You see, we step out in faith and believe it first. We taste and see that the Lord is good first. That's faith, by believing it, and then God reciprocates by letting us enjoy blessings and things like that. So faith, God operates and chooses for us to respond or to seek him in faith. But again, in Psalm 23:1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pasture, and he leads me beside still waters. All right, so the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God is my source and the supply of my life. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. Life is good when I seek first the kingdom of God, when I put God first place in my life. I think the challenge that so many Christians face in life is with, you know, all the things going on and so much things to do and work and all those things. It's challenging to put God first place in life. But the most fruitful place of my Christianity, and I've been a Christian a really long time, is when I put God first place in my life. Now, so I've been putting God first place in my life for probably 40 years now, and I've never regretted putting God first place in my life. And so when I talk about putting God first place, it means that he moves from, you know, one of the numbers down your list of priorities. He moves up to the first place in your priorities in life. And that's a challenge for so many people. But for us and this group of believers, I know that many and most of you have already made that choice, and you've made that move, and you've made that decision to put God first place in your life. So when I say first place, it means it's more important than anything else. It's more important than money. It's more important than fun. It's more important than my job. It's more important than my marriage. It's more important than my children. It's more important to put God first place, because when you have those priorities aligned in that order where God is number one, then he helps us to fulfill and do the things that we need to get done. And he blesses us in our job. He blesses us in our marriage. He blesses us in our family. He blesses us in life. I believe in blessings. I believe in expecting the blessing of God. And you know, some people go, well, I don't know if I've really stepped into that place where you talk about blessings to that degree. Well, put God first place. That means not second, third, or fourth place, or fifth place, or whatever place, but put God at the top of your priority list so that every day you're putting God first place, and you will see that things change for your life. Life, I believe, will get better for anyone that will do that. And so I encourage everyone to do, but put God first place in your life. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God is my source and supply in life, obviously. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. You know, sometimes surrender is challenging. It's difficult because, you know, we've got so much going on, and, you know, work demands and family demands and children demands and financial demands and every kind of demands are always going on. And, you know, to take the time to rest and the time to put God first place. Again, I'm going back to the key to success as a Christian is to move God up to that prioritiest, highest priority in our life. I just believe that with all my heart. I was taught by good pastors and leaders to make those adjustments in my life, and we all can do it. It's just whether or not we want to do it. Do we want to rearrange our whole life to move God up to that place of the highest place in our life? But when you do, life begins to fall into place because God's smarter than we are. God knows everything, and therefore he helps us to organize our life, and he helps us to accomplish the things we need to accomplish, and the blessings of life, the favor of life, the goodness of life, healing and victory and favor, you know, prospering and all these wonderful things that God has for us if we will move God up to number one. All right, so he makes us to lie down in green pasture. He leads us beside the still waters. Quiet times are good unless you love chaos. I don't know, some people love chaos, and man, I've learned through, you know, the chaotic times that to separate myself, to get alone with God and to seek God and get quiet and listen to God is the absolute remedy for all chaos. And you know, we you know, sometimes it just happens where you're stuck in the middle and you don't, you know, you didn't create it. It wasn't your fault, but yet there's chaos going on in your life. And it's great just to bow your head or slip away or just, you know, I mean, wherever you got to go to be alone for a moment and just put God first place again. Just move him back into that place where he is in charge even of the chaos in life, and God will navigate us through those difficulties in our life. All right, so leading and guiding us and communicating to us. Life is good when I seek for him first in my life. He leads me beside still waters. Again, the quietness of our life can quiet down. I mean, if you've got children, or if you've got a chaotic job, or if you've got a chaotic situation, or you've got chaos going on in your building, or if you've got wherever you go, at the grocery store or on the freeway or wherever it is, there's always some sort of chaos that can try and find you. But thank God that he leads us beside the still water and he restores our soul. Verse 3 says he restores my soul. The restoration, the bringing me back to that place, and you know, to get back, you know, I learned a long time ago, and I say this quite often, but I learned to put God first place in my life. And when you do that, the priorities are there and they fall into place and the chaos seems to dissipate. And so I know that, you know, we don't create chaos and we don't love chaos, but when it happens, just make sure that we put God back first place in our life, and that chaos seems to melt and dry up and get quiet, because the Bible says he leads me by the still waters and he restores my soul. I like to say he restores my sanity, because there are times, obviously, when things are just so chaotic and so noisy and so loud. And the best thing for any Christian to do is to find that time to get alone with God. Because some would say amen to that. Amen. All right. So God calls us back to him and calls us back to faith and to restoring our soul. Restoration for a Christian who is backslidden or in the grip of sin or not walking in the word. Let's just talk about that for a minute, because we all face that at some point in our life where, we try and stay focused and stay sold out and stay with God number one, but sometimes, you know, we just get busy with other stuff and things happen, and you know, we let God slip sometimes, but we make the choice to get him back at first place in our life, or if we get into sin. Hey, sometimes brothers and sisters in Christ can get over into areas of weakness or temptation, or get into a situation where, man, all of a sudden you're in the midst of trouble and, you didn't know how you got there, or you know how you got there. The choices you made some bad choices. But nevertheless, when we are in that, Bible says he restores our soul, he restores our sanity. When I come back to him and I humble myself, the key to my favorite part of Christianity is when I humble myself. God is so good to me when I humble myself. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And I learned that so that, you know, if I stumble or if I fall on my face or something goes wrong, you know, it's generally some area of my life where pride or rebellion, or I just didn't follow what I knew was the right thing to do. And sometimes we get into those situations, but remember, just putting God back into the proper place in our life and surrendering and admitting we're wrong. Hey, I want to challenge somebody right now to admit you're wrong. If something's not going right, you know what I did? Sometimes I even admitted I was wrong when I didn't even know if I did something wrong. And, you know, there's a lot of times where, you know, those hidden faults, you know, Bible says psalmist said, cleanse me, Lord, of secret faults. Secret faults, I guess if we examine ourselves, the Bible says, examine your own selves to see if you're in the faith. And when I examine myself, there are times when I have to face the facts and face the truth that I have faults. We all have faults. And no one's perfect. And so when I examine myself, sometimes it's painful. It's painful to face the mistakes or face the failures or face the negative things that you've said or things you've thought or the things you've done, and to deal with them and not to go continuing down that road of continuing to make these mistakes. And I want to be able to identify them, and I listen to the Holy Spirit, because as soon as I'm disquieted on the inside, that means that something's happened that has caused me to get off of the path, and I'm kind of in the flesh, or I'm in my own thinking, or whatever it is, and I just stop myself in those circumstances, and I examine myself. The Bible says, "Examine yourself," and I try and do it on a consistent basis. And I challenge somebody right now, because I know in my heart right now that someone that's listening, you're afraid to examine yourself, you're afraid to face failure, you're afraid to face mistakes, or maybe you're so far out you don't think you can get back. And but the challenge is that we examine ourselves, and if I confess and admit, you know, a couple Bibles say it differently. If I admit my sin or if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And so we learn in our Christianity that the fastest way to get back to fellowship with God is to examine ourselves and to, you know, weigh, you know, sometimes, you know, We're dealing with a bunch of smart people. I mean, obviously, you got great brains and you got lots of smarts and you're a successful people. And sometimes in our path of thinking, we can justify the things that we do. But quiet time with God and opening yourself up to correction. One of my favorite things to do throughout my Christianity is, I call it one of my favorite things to do now, because for the longest time it was one of the hardest things to do, and that's open yourself up to correction. Because, you know, there are people who come in, they'll be happily correct you, family, spouses and children, or, you know, other people in the church or wherever, bosses and people you work with. Everybody will correct you, but to open yourself up to examination and not be afraid to admit that you're wrong and to admit that you sinned. Admitting you're wrong and admitting you sinned are the same thing. And so in my estimation, if I'm wrong, then, I just have to choose to make that decision to allow God to, check me. You know, sometimes we ignore checks. You know, the Spirit doesn't yell at you. The Spirit never yells at you unless it's an emergency, unless it's danger. You know, then you'll hear the voice of God really strongly to warn you, hey, get out of that situation. Don't go there. Don't do that. But generally, a check is very gentle, very peaceful, and very quiet. And it's not like a witness of the Spirit. Witness of the Spirit is peaceable. It's the most joyful thing that we can have is when the witness of the Spirit comes. But when a check comes or when the Lord is convicting us, then we have to yield and surrender. And it's painful sometimes. It's painful because what happens, you have to admit you're wrong. You have to admit you sinned. Or even in, I identify mistakes that I make as sins. So do I have to do it that way? I just put them in the category of wrong, and therefore I repent of mistakes. I repent of those things. And this is the way I do it. And I don't know if anybody else does it that way. I don't know if anybody wants to admit. Some people don't want to admit they're wrong. They just keep marching down the same road and they just never want to admit they're wrong. And that's pride. And you can't prosper. You know, one of the things I want to inject into this message here is that when your heart is peaceful before God and you live that way, the fruit of that is God will prosper you. You'll make good decisions. You'll start doing the right things. And pretty soon, life gets good. Life becomes peaceful and joyful and things go well for you. Things can go well for a person, and I want someone to hear that, because if you've had a string of failure, if you've had a string of pain, you can come out of that. And a lot of times it's hard to admit, but a lot of the pain is because of the things we said, the things we thought, the things we did, the decisions we made. We're usually responsible for the pain that we go through. A lot of things, you know, sometimes you have no control over circumstances that have happened to you. Of course, those things happen. But generally, the pains that we experience are self-inflicted. And so if we just listen to the Lord, and even in those circumstances where you don't even know how or why you got there, I just repent for those things, and boom, they get quiet. They get quiet. And whether or not God is convicting me in those situations, or whether or not my own conscience is just bothering me, I want to challenge somebody about their conscience right now. We need to develop our conscience. We need to allow our conscience to talk to us. There's the Spirit of God, and then there's our own conscience. The Bible says His Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so if that's the case that we examine ourselves with, that His Spirit witnesses with my spirit that we are the children of God, then that could be the pattern and is the pattern that God communicates with us. God witnesses with our spirit and our spirit. Now, our spirit is the one that's kind of rough on us, you know. Our spirit kind of convicts and condemns us and makes us feel bad sometimes. But God just points out the fact that, hey, son, you missed it and you need to get it right. Okay, and then my conscience will start bothering me, you know, and I'll go, something's not right here. And so I listen to my conscience. My friends, my brothers, my sisters, Listen to your conscience. Let your conscience work. Someone said, you know, your conscience is too, you're too sensitive. You're just too, you overreact to your conscience. No, I want to be right with God, and I want to just make sure. And it created this beautiful relationship that I believe I have with the Lord, in the sense that I say that. And I don't know if anybody else says that, but it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, because I believe I have this beautiful relationship with the Lord. And it's, and one of the reasons is that I was sensitive in my conscience. I was sensitive to the spirit of my spirit, and my spirit was sensitive to the Spirit of God. And so his spirit witnesses with my spirit that we are the children of God. Well, in the same way, his spirit witnesses with my spirit, or checks me, and I got this check on the inside. Hey, when anytime there's disquiet, my friends, don't allow disquiet to go unchecked, unexamined, undealt with, because that's where Christians get off. That's where Christians get out in the weeds. That's where Christians get into trouble, is because when my conscience bothers me, when my heart is condemning me, God is greater than my heart and knows all things. But if my heart condemns me not, then we know that we have the petition that we've desired of. And that's what John said in his little book. He said that when my heart condemns me not, then I know I have the petitions that I've desired of him. And I have a lot of petitions. Hopefully you have petitions. Hopefully you haven't just quit asking God. I ask God for stuff all the time, because he's a good God. He's a generous God. He's a kind God. He's my shepherd. He's my source and my supply. And he makes me to lie down in a green pasture. He leads me beside still waters. Quietness and peacefulness is where God leads us. God doesn't lead me into chaos. Or if I end up in chaos, I never blame God for chaos. I end up in circumstances that I don't understand what happened or why it happened, but I just trust the Lord with all my heart, and I lean not to my own understanding. I'm not going to try and figure it out with my brain. I'm leaning not to my own understanding, and all my ways I'm acknowledging him, and he will direct my path. So he'll lead me out of the turmoil. He'll lead me out of the anxiousness and the worry and the fretting and the fear and the trepidation and all the things that are associated with. And so he leads me beside still waters. That's what God wants you to lead you how. He doesn't lead you into turmoil. Again, I said that a couple times now, and I just want someone to not blame God for chaos in your life. God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author of chaos. God is not the author of the things that people blame him for. Now it doesn't mean that God isn't going to allow you to get into challenging times. God helps us through challenging times, but I just don't want people, if we can get away from blaming God, if you can get away from blaming God and just always accept responsibility or blame it on the devil. You know, I mean, I just say, hey, you know, devil's a bad devil, and I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and I accept responsibility if I've made mistakes. Accepting responsibility for making mistakes and verbalize it to God. Father, I made a mistake. Please forgive me should be one of the most common things that all of us have in common that we do. Father, forgive me. In Jesus' name, I made a mistake. Father, forgive me. I did something wrong. Father, forgive me. I've sinned. Father, forgive me. I shot my mouth off, or I million things I could say of what I've done, or I yelled at my wife. Forgive me, Father. I just blew my stack. And now she doesn't deserve to take the brunt of me saying something negative or being that way. And so I continually believe in God cleansing me of unrighteousness. When if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me of unrighteousness. And I go right back to being in fellowship and right restored and to flow with God. And that's what we want, for Christians to flow with God. I want Christians to flow with God, to know the goodness of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance of God, the fruit fruit of the Spirit, these things in your life where you have a relationship and you know you have a relationship because you're communing with Him, you're fellowshipping with Him, you sense His presence, you know the witness of the Spirit on the inside of you. And that is Christianity 101. That's what God wants. He doesn't want us living this life of separation from Him and then running back to Him when the life gets just so out of whack and so weird and so out there. And so, you know, so a depth of sin should not be in the life of a sold out Christian. There should not. We should be getting better and better in our walk with God. We should get stronger and stronger and not get weaker and weaker. We should not be dabbling. We should not be taste and see that the world is good. No, it's taste and see that the Lord is good. And so we turn our back on the world. And that's what our Christianity, choosing the path of the righteous is the name of this. That's what the righteous do. They choose their path. They make their decision. They say when it's a neutral situation, nothing bad is happening and nothing good is happening, I choose right now, this day, whom I'm serving. I'm serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm making a choice to be a doer of God's word. I'm listening to what the Bible says. I'm going to do the best I can to be the best Christian I can. And I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to be successful at it. And what's going to happen? I'll stub my toe in the sense of I'll do something dumb and I'll sin. Maybe I'll yell at my wife or say something bad to somebody or just, you know, things that happen, right? But I just go back to the Lord. Lord, I missed it again. Please forgive me. And I receive forgiveness. And I say it. I receive your forgiveness, Lord. Thank you. I admit if I confess my sin, I confess it is admitted. I'm not confessing like in a Catholic ministry and I'm not insulting them, but I don't confess that way. I admit. If I admit my sin, if I admit I'm wrong, if I admit I did it, then He's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me. And I believe in the cleansing that comes with admitting you're wrong. I believe not only did I admit it, but I'm cleansed and I can walk with peace and joy out into what God has for me. All right, so He restores my soul. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Life is good. Hey, when I got peace, life is good. It's like being in a green pasture. When I put God first place, He leads me beside still waters. Quiet times are good. Unless you love chaos. Do you love chaos? I don't want chaos in my life, man. I've learned I can't solve chaos. I mean, sometimes I can fix it. Sometimes we can maybe get ourselves out of trouble, but I don't like chaos. And, He leads me beside still water. Quiet times are good. Unless you love chaos, He restores my soul. Restoration for a Christian who's backslidden or in the grip of sin or not walking in the word or not walking in the Spirit or failing to please God. Those are all fruits of, backslidden. If you're in those types of sins, then you're backslidden, and I call them sins. If I miss it, it's a sin. I don't wrestle and argue with myself, is it a sin? If I miss it, it's a sin. It's very simple. It makes my life very simple. If I miss it, I correct it. I do what's right to fix it. I take responsibility. Christians today, I'm telling you something, they're shucking responsibility and trying to hide it in other places and, you know, not have to admit that they did it or take responsibility for it. But if you take responsibility, I guarantee you'll step up to another level. When you start taking responsibility for failure, you start taking responsibility for missing it. If you start taking responsibility for the things that are going on, then you'll step up. And pretty soon, God respects that from people that who are honorable and admit that they're responsible for their mistakes. And God will lead you out and give you wisdom and understanding and clarity, and He'll show you the next level. God takes us to higher levels. I believe that continually God is taking us up higher into places in Him. Who could ever tap the wisdom of God? I mean, we touch maybe a fraction of the wisdom of God, and we are grateful for it, but praise God. All right, so again, we humble ourselves and acknowledge our mistakes. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I declare, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Christians, that's a scripture, and you should say it, because you shouldn't be ashamed to say that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So I am redeemed, sanctified, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, and I have wisdom. Hey, some might say, well, what do you mean you have wisdom? Well, the Bible says I do, a wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. I'm going to agree with the Bible, and I'm going to claim those things for myself. When I say claim, I'm going to believe them. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to believe each of those things, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. And so I choose those things so that I can identify with them. And now instead of identifying with failure, not identifying with bad choices or bad conduct or bad words or bad thoughts, or bad actions, I'm identifying with righteousness and right living and right choices and being a doer of the word and seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things are added to me. I say that because it's a scripture. All these things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. See, all this is based on scripture. I'm putting the scriptures out there. I'm standing on the word, and I'm expecting that if I do what God asked me to do, he'll bless me. I believe in blessing. Some people don't believe God blesses. Some people don't believe in good things. Some people don't believe in health and victory and prospering. But I believe in all of it because God is good. God is good, and he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the universe, and he has everything within his power, and he's a good God, and he blesses his children. I believe that. We need to start seeing it. We need to start believing it. We need to start saying it. God is a good God, and he blesses me. What would be wrong with that? Is that arrogant or prideful or boastful, or is that arrogant? No, it's just saying that God is a good God. He blessed David. He blessed the people. David was a man after God's own heart. This is why, because of the things he wrote, the way he acted. He made mistakes. He sinned. He cheated on his wife. He did all those things that he did. I mean, but David, in history, is in a very honorable place in heaven. And one day, we're going to shake hands with him, give him a hug, and say, wow, we read all about you. We know a lot about you. And you made it. And we made it. Praise God. Amen. He leads us in the path. Somebody say amen, please. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He does it because he's a good God. He loves his children. And it is his nature to forgive and to cleanse us from sin. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Hey, we try to be fearless. Fear is of the enemy. Faith is of God. That, therefore, I want to reject all fear, and I want to be 100% in faith. Faith and fear are opposites. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But fear is the substance of things not hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not wanted. So I don't want to be in fear. And so Christians, if I'm not making any sense, this should make sense and you should grab this. Do not tolerate, accept, and have fear unchecked in your life. To the best of your ability, reject it every time it comes up and supersede it, or choose to go over it with faith. I'm going to reject fear, and I'm going to speak faith so that it supersedes and it puts down the fear. Fear, it can be controlled and dealt with and overcome if I will use my faith. And so what I do, how do you use faith? You got to speak it. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. That's probably the one I use. I probably used it going on 1 million times, going on 2 million. How many? God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. I have a sound mind. He's not giving me fear. I'm walking in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I'm walking in faith and not in fear. So as soon as I get into fear, I stop to the best of my ability. Now, obviously, sometimes fear is hard to deal with. and it's hard to suppress or reject. But I, as an act of my will and an act of my choices, I choose to reject it verbally. I reject fear in the name of Jesus. I don't say it to you. I don't say it. I don't yell it outside. I just say under my breath, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you that you've not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love of sound mind, and I reject fear in Jesus' name. So rejecting fear and choosing faith every time that fear comes up in whatever area. And there's a million areas that it could come up in. It's like that game. You just keep popping the head of the thing down, and you keep popping the head of the thing down. Pretty soon you popped them all down, and you're walking in this peaceful state of joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. That's fruit of the Spirit. You're coming out of fear, and you're just walking in faith. All right, so yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I do not have to be afraid of anything in this life or anything that comes against me. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. How is God with you? Obviously, he's with us by his Spirit. But when I'm in the Word of God daily, this is how I stay close to God. And I talk to God all the time. And I don't make formal prayers. I don't have, I just commune and talk to him. There are times when Father, I just ask you in the name of Jesus, and then I tell him what I want or what I want done, and that's a formal prayer. But other times, I'm just talking to God. You know, I encourage someone that you got to start talking to God if you believe that he is. You must believe that he is, and that what? He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, in a sense, it could be self-serving. I don't believe my motive's wrong, because I'm going to continually communicate with him, because he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm diligently seeking him by staying tuned and connected and pursuing and chasing after God and listening and walking in the Spirit. If I'm walking in the Spirit, it's chasing after God. If I'm talking to Jesus, it's chasing after God. If I'm talking to the Father in Jesus' name, I'm chasing after God. So this is what I do on a regular basis. And let me just say this. Somebody goes, well, how many Christians can do that? Hey, billions. I don't know if there are billions. Millions do. There are millions of Christians that live consecrated and sold out and separated from the world. If you're half in and half out, and you're continually being pulled back into the world, that's not a consecrated Christian. That's not consecrated. Separation is when I'm separated. Is it always pure? Is it always peaceable and joyful and victorious like, you know, we want it to be? No, man. We all go through the difficulty of challenges of physical challenges, mental challenges, financial challenges, family challenges. We all do that. But praise God, it's not that way all the time. We don't have to live that way. We live above and not beneath. We're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed above and not beneath. We're the head and not the tail. That means that we live in that place of our faith, and it's good, and God is good. And therefore, the pains of life are less and less, minimal. Thank God for that. Challenges do creep up and happen, but praise God, we don't have to live there. All right. I don't have to be afraid of anything in this life. Protection in these days, protection in those days was a sword and a big stick to ward off predators and wild animals. God has supernatural ways to guard us, protect us, and keep us safe in a crazy world we live in. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So the rod and the staff, now instead of walking around with a stick, I have the faith that God is got a bubble. Man, somebody goes, well, dude, what are you saying? Hey, faith can guard you. Faith can protect you. Faith can keep you out. Man, there are so many times where trouble was coming, and I'm going, uh-oh. Lord, I need your help. Do you know how many times I said, Lord, I need your help when trouble was brewing? And it just dissipated. You and I should continually say, Lord, I need your help. All right, protection in this crazy world. Verse 4, the protection of God's word is a powerful tool or weapon and found in the Bible if we confess it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The Bible word for confess is not admit. It means to declare it over and over. So when I confess, you can say it in the negative, I confess my sin, or I confess my faith in God. And that's where I do all my confessing. I admit my sin and the wrong, but I'm confessing my faith in God. I'm declaring my faith in God. I'm speaking my faith in God. I am using my words to create a world that I live in. Somebody's going, what? Hey, listen, you live in your world that you created with your words. Your words, if you're being dogged by the enemy, you created that by the words you spoke. All the negativity that we experience is created by our own doing. Some people don't want to accept responsibility for what's going on in their life, but that is a fact. And when you accept the responsibility for what's going on in your life, that's a maturity step in your Christianity. I'm stepping up and accepting the failures and mistakes that I made. And now, Father, I ask you to forgive me, wipe the slate clean because you've forgiven me, and I want to move forward in my life, and I want to be a doer of the word. All right, so I will fear no evil. The Bible says confess it, admit it, and then declare this over and over again, that I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So we reject fear. We reject fear every opportunity we get. All right, so I only have a few minutes left, but we're going to look at the back page. Confession is declaration, and declaration is saying it over and over out loud. Why out loud? You need to hear you say it. Yeah, but I can hear it in my mind. You need to hear you say it. And you want heaven to hear it, and you want the enemy to hear it. You want to be on the record. When you go before a judge, you have to say it, and they put you on the record. And so your confession is a declaration, and a declaration is saying it over and over again out loud. We need to say what we believe out loud. We declare it out loud. Silent Christians are weak Christians. Sorry. It doesn't mean that you don't... if you never speak your faith, to me that's a weakness. Because the more you speak your faith, the stronger your faith grows. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing the word of God is when you hear the word of God by you saying it. You say the word of God out loud. All of this is out loud. Well, aren't people going to hear me? Well, you do it in the privacy of your prayer closet. You do the privacy of wherever you get. What, I don't have any privacy. Yeah, you can get alone. You can get quiet. Go for a walk. Walk for half an hour. Walk for 20 minutes. Walk for 10 minutes or 15 minutes while you make your prayer confessions, while you declare the good things of God, while you talk to the Lord in prayer, while you say, but to say it out loud. Well, somebody might see me. Who cares what people think? If you still worry about what people think of you, you're not going to be a dynamic, victorious Christian, because victorious Christians speak their faith. They declare it out loud. It's not faith unless you speak it out loud. So he says, well, I have faith in my heart. Do you know how many people say that? But when the rubber meets the road, their faith is weak because they never declare their faith. So what faith am I declaring? Rather than declare just what I want to say, I'll just declare what the Bible says about me, for me. If God be for me, here's one. If God be for me, who can be against me? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. I mean, we could go on with, you know, all these different scriptures. All right, so when we walk through the valley of death, I'll fear no evil. I believe the word of God. Every day I get at least one scripture to hold for that day. Every day getting scripture to hold for that day. I belong in the secret place of the Most High. Time alone with God is in communication. I belong in the Spirit. I walk in the Spirit. I will not fulfill the lust of flesh. That is one of the greatest fruits of walking in the Spirit. I don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. I don't want to be a pervert. I don't want to live like the world. I want to be separated. I want to walk in the Spirit, and I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is not rocket science. This is just simple. Just don't walk in the Spirit. Amen. Do walk in the Spirit. Okay, so when do we begin our battle with fear, dread, alarm, fright, fantasy, and doom? Alarm is good if the Holy Spirit is telling us. And we need discernment for the voice of God when he sounds the alarm in our own spirit, warning us by this Holy Spirit that there is danger or trouble ahead. That's how we stay out of trouble. If I do it in the little things, if I do it when nothing's going on, and I say, Lord, I'm listening to you, and I'm hearing you, and I want you to tell me what's going on and what I need to know. If I do that when nothing's going on, then when something's going on, I'll hear it, I'll know it, I'll have a check in my heart, and I can respond accordingly. We want to respond. If there's an alarm, it's good that the Holy Spirit's telling us, and we need the discernment of the voice of God when he's sounding the alarm in our spirit, warning us by the Holy Spirit that there is danger or trouble ahead, or you missed it. If we miss it, one of the versions said, if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of unrighteousness. I don't wrestle with it. I call missing it sin. Even if it was ignorance or I didn't mean to do it or whatever, I just accept it as that's in the wrong category. I'm going to go put it in the right category. I'm telling you, friends, if you make these black and white choices like that, life gets very good, and life gets very uncomplicated. It is a yes on and no off. And it's just one or the other. Yes on, no off. And it's a good way to live because it's a peaceful, joyful way to live. All right, we got only a couple minutes left here. I just want to say a couple more things, and then we'll close. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's pretty self-explanatory. You anoint my head with oil. The anointing of God is upon us. So we got a couple of scriptures I'll hear and then read and then we'll close. Psalm 45:7 says, you love justice and you hate evil. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you by pouring out the oil of joy on you more than anyone else. And then Hebrews 1:9, you have loved righteousness. You've hated lawlessness. Christians, agree with the word. In your privacy, say, I love righteousness and I hate lawlessness. You know what will happen in those circumstances? You'll start not agreeing with what's going on out there. You'll start saying, I love justice and I hate evil. And so I love righteousness and I hate lawlessness. We can do this. We can be better. We can grow up into Christ in all things. We can be fruitful in every good work. We can increase in the knowledge of him. That's his will for you. Everybody can do it. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Why? Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Somebody say amen right now. Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight. We thank you for the saints that are assembled. We welcome those saints that are watching, Father God. And Lord, I pray right now that there was something that I said that was inspired by you that would touch their hearts and help them to hunger and thirst after righteousness, to be doers of the word and not hearers only, to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. We say this in Jesus' name, amen. Lastly, at 7:59, let's say the salvation prayer together. Dear God in heaven, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross for me and was raised again from the dead so that I could have eternal life. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior and be my Lord. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I receive forgiveness now and receive eternal life. I thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, don't forget to honor God with the first fruits of your increase. It changes people's lives when they do what the Bible says. And so we honor God with our first fruits, with our increase, or with just whatever offerings and tithes and gifts that you have. Bless the Lord with those things. Father, we thank you for the tithes, the gifts, and offerings that come into this church. We promise to use it for your work and your service. We ask you to bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks for coming. Thank you for listening. And I believe Pastor Nance will be back on Sunday. And amen. Blessings, everybody.